This is Carolyn Evers, and I am just so delighted to be with you this afternoon. We have so much to share. First of all, I wanted to tell you a few things that we are planning for the near future. There's a group of healers that we are intending to bring on board. These are magnificent people, and we're going to be working directly from you, from us to you, and actually being able to work with people in a healing perspective. On one show, I intend to, as we're working on the healing, going to read from the Akashic Records to find out what the basis of the physical problem was so that the individual doesn't take on that burden again, because healing can come, but unless the mind is changed, there is always the possibility that they can fall back into the same problem or another problem with different symptoms, and it's because thinking sometimes has to be changed. So we're going to put those two together, which I think should be interesting, putting the healer together with the Akashic Records to heal the entire individual. So I want you to stay tuned on that, because that's going to be great fun for everybody. The other thing that we have on the drawing board is we're going to be working with some people who are scrying the planet, meaning that it is similar to the process that Nostradamus used, and we're going to be looking in the Earth, along the Earth's crust, to see perhaps what's happening by way of Earth changes. So we have a concept of just what is down the road for us. Also, for those of you who have read Viva Papa, which is found at the website of Pope John Paul Speaks, he talks about this, about scrying the earth and how important this is, so that you have some sort of sense of what's on the horizon with regards to earth changes. So we're really happy about those two things. Then anybody who has an inclination to call and for us to peek into your records for you, we are here for that. And meanwhile, until somebody decides that they will call, we've got some things on the agenda that we can talk about. In the book Chaos Before Creation, which is found at healingmysteries.com, there's 13 masters who discuss all the different aspects of healing. And there are some people from history. There are some entertainers who crossed over in this century, which is kind of interesting. And there is a variety of talks that they have come forth to share with you, as I said, on every aspect of healing. One of the things that is mentioned many times is how from a past lifetime, when we went through a great trauma, we suffered, and for some reason at the point of death, that energy from that suffering and pain actually stayed with the individual, and it wasn't purged, so to speak. And because we cannot take imperfect things into the next dimension, that imperfection had to stay in this dimension. And there were issues revolving around fear, hatred, so many negative emotions. They had to stay here. And so when the soul came back, reincarnated, this was placed in a seed, so to speak. And that seed then was taken into the bloodstream from the DNA and moved in the physical again. And so these past lifetime traumas have collected over a period of time. When I mean time, I mean lifetime. And this needs to be cleared. It's one of the things that we're going to be talking about on the cruise. Not so much talking about, but rather working with the Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene are two and yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Carolyn.
Yes.
This is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. How are
Hi.
You doing, dear?
Doing pretty good. I have
doing
a question.
Good.
I don't know if it's relevant to what you're talking about, but I've donated most of my life to doing God's work and have always listened real well. Lately, I don't seem to be hearing them. Is there some reason I'm not hearing them?
Well, you know, I've had this. It's interesting that you have that question, Kathleen, because I have. I just recently did a reading from a lady who asked the very question,
mm-hmm.
"Why don't people in spirit talk to me?"
Uh-huh.
Now, that whole reading that pertains to that topic is on the spiritual notebook on BBS Radio. Now, it's not up soon. Check tomorrow. You might want to read that to really get the details.
Okay.
I'll give you the gist of it, but let me ask you a question, Kathleen. Were you hearing them at one time?
Oh, yeah, for years. And I hear them when I'm doing my readings. But when I have a, you know, I'm concentrating, and I try to stay in the alpha state. But when I'm asking a question or for advice, I'm getting blank.
Well, there's a couple things here, and let's talk about it. The first thing, it depends on what you're asking,
mm-hmm.
because what's happening now, you might be aware of this. What's happening now is there was a time when the spiritual hierarchy would come and answer so many questions that maybe didn't have to do with spiritual enlightenment or spiritual growth,
mm-hmm.
but kind of hand-holding. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. They've come to a point now where we're basically being told it's time to step into our mastery. And
okay.
so there are certain things, like if you ask the question, it's like, oh, that phone's dead on the other line. One of two things could be. It could be that this is a question where they are expecting you now to step into your mastery, or it might be something else, and I'm going to get to that. And so before we get to that, the question I'm going to ask you, Kathleen, is the kind of questions where you ask and there's that dead phone on the
right.
other line. Are these things like what I would say spiritual questions where you would get a spiritual answer, or are these more mundane things in the world?
No, I'm not really into the mundane stuff. I'm, you know, I've had it with all the material stuff. I don't have any needs other than I want to hear their answers. And in my reading, they said, the angel said that I had to be have a true desire. Well, donating my whole life to them, I think, is desire. You know, what more do they want?
Are you talking about a reading that I did for you?
Yes.
Rather than discuss that reading here on the telephone, I would be glad to call you personally and discuss it.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That'd be fine.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like that is like a more personal thing that has to be better shared between you and I privately. So how?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you for your phone number because everybody's hearing it. Somebody might call you and ask you for a date or something.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
So, Kathleen, do me a favor, sweetheart. Send me your telephone number in an email.
Okay.
I'll give you a call, and we can discuss that. How's
okay.
that?
Okay. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Carolyn.
Okay. My pleasure, dear.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We're kind of changing gears here. We were talking about healing and how it is so important to be healing these past life traumas that's accumulating in the body, and Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene being two masters who work with energy, they're going to be working with the people on the cruise to actually help us remove these blockages from the past. And we need to remove these before we actually continue on the road to ascension, because they are negative factors that have to stay on this plane. So before we can go to the higher planes, they all have to be cleared. And in Chaos Before Creation, one of the ways they tell you how to clear those is to go into that alpha state. And for those of you who meditate, you can recognize that, but for those who do not meditate, it is that that feeling that right before you drift off into sleep, you're very relaxed, your body is relaxed, and you kind of recognize that. You're feeling cozy, and you're getting ready, moving from being awake into the sleep state. And so you go into that state. And one of the things that's recommended, a good time to do this, is either in meditation or before you go to bed at night, but to scan your body. And we've put some articles in the spiritual notebook as to how we can communicate, because every cell in our body has consciousness. We can communicate with every cell in our body mentally. We can put our thoughts in our body, and we're communicating with the different parts of our body. And so if you scan the physical, you can start from the feet up or the head down, and you just mentally scan each part of your body until you feel something that feels like a discomfort. And if you notice that discomfort, you feel a discomfort, you place your consciousness there. And you stay with that. You stay with your consciousness at that place of discomfort. And you may or you may not feel an emotion. It takes time to recognize this. It might be a feeling of anger. Might be a feeling of fear. But if you concentrate on that, at some point, you're going to learn how to pick these up. And that is a site where energies and negative emotions have resided, and that is from a past lifetime. And when you feel that emotion, you then turn that over to the white light. And you can do that however it feels comfortable to you, whether you are calling in the God force or if you have your own concept of what the Supreme Creator might be, then you turn that negative emotion over and ask for that to be transmuted. And then you also use golden light too to heal this. And if it seems like you're not making progress with this, then to use the violet flame throughout the whole body and actually see that burning up through all of the cells. Now, what they mention, what the different masters mention in Chaos Before Creation, is that if that disease today has a spiritual, has its roots in spiritual reasons, and they tell us that these past life negative emotions that we have carried over, if it's not cleared, it surfaces as a disease. And if these symptoms, well, it first starts with symptoms, and then if the symptoms aren't addressed, it can turn into a disease where it has brought other processes into it. Now, we're not suggesting that one does not go and seek out a physician. We would never say that. You go to the physician, but also work on this yourself, clearing the discomfort. If it has advanced the disease, work with that also, because you might just find that you're able to clear that. I also, if you know someone who works with energy, this is marvelous, because sometimes you feel the symptom, but you're not able to clear it yourself, and one who works with energy is a very big help in assisting you in doing that. One of the healers that we're going to be having the beginning of August that we're going to be working with, she, among many things, is one of those that can work with those energies and help move that energy from that particular location. And when we talk about this, it's going to really be exciting to start to understand what is behind different symptoms and, you know, different diseases and so forth. So that's going to be, some of this is going to be occurring the beginning of August, and others the beginning of September, so stay tuned in for that. I think you will be very much pleased with that. There are many people who are very much devoted to their animals, whether it's a cat or a dog, and there is a great deal of love that is exchanged between owners of pets and the pet themselves. And you see this all around you, and maybe you're one of these individuals who is very much devoted to a special pet and love this pet dearly. And then there comes the time when the pet dies, and there is great grieving process that people go through because they have developed such a love force with their pet, and it is a grieving process. It is a death. It is a death to them. And so I had a situation where an individual asked for a reading about their pet. And there was some really interesting information that came out about that that I just wanted to share with you, because you know, there were things like about whether, you know, animals have souls, or where they're going, how they're evolving, the connection between the animal and the human being. And it was the sort of information that I thought perhaps you would be interested in. And so I saved some of the information, and we're going to talk about this. And what came forth in this information is, I have to read you this sentence because I just think this is so beautiful. They were talking about love and the love between a pet and a human being. And there was one sentence there that really caught my heart, and it said that every time love has a chance to be a part of one's life, there is a reflection between the loved one and the source of all in the center of the cosmos. And I just thought that was beautiful. I think it's so beautiful. I'll read it over again in case you didn't hear it exactly. That every time love has a chance to be a part of one's life, there is a reflection between the loved one and the source of all in the center of the cosmos. And so they were relating this to the animal who shared their love unconditionally. And we know this. People who are devoted to their pets know that their pets share their love unconditionally with them. And the reading further indicates that all is an evolution, the human, of course, and also the animal. And so what they said was that when the owners of pets share love with the pet, that the pet is benefiting also. And this, I thought, was very interesting. You probably have heard that animals belong, that are on the earth presently, that they belong to a group animal soul. You probably are aware of that. And that they can develop, though, and at some point when the pet dies and all of this love that has been shared with the animal, they are able to transition particles of its existence to be used to form a soul at a later date. And I thought that was very interesting. So when you love animals and they're part of your life and they share their love with you, you are helping them to evolve. And of course, they're helping you to evolve too, because love is that force that we can never get enough of in our world. Well, they went on to say that when Source, and they're talking about Source now in the center of the cosmos, who created souls, that Source did not really intend to create the animal world, that the animal world was a job that was completed by the creator gods for this part of the cosmos and this universe in particular. Some people call them the Elohim. And they gave the reason as to why the animal was created in the very beginning. And I thought this was interesting, that when creator gods work on a new concept, a new experiment, that what they do is they go to the libraries and get information to help them with the creation that they're working on. And we talked about that yesterday when we discussed where all of the individual records were located, that there are so many different deposits of records, and they didn't call it libraries then, but in a sense, when creator gods are gathering information, that would be a type of a library. And here in this part of the cosmos, this universe, this galaxy, this solar system, we are at the very densest of particles. And there was not information in a library for the Elohim to research before they started creation here. And so it was intended that there would be a physical body, that there would be a soul, but there wasn't the records to indicate just how to implement all of this. So the Elohim created animals at that point. And that the creation in the animal didn't have a soul, it had consciousness. And they were studying just all the different systems. If you stop and think about the physical, I mean, it's such a complicated process, beautifully done when it is all put together in one form, but we're bringing in water, we're bringing in foodstuffs, we've got vitamins and minerals and all the different components to make this beautiful body work. But the systems are very much evolved, and so the Elohim were studying the animals to see how all of these systems would work together. Now, the souls who were in the etheric knew that they would be brought in a form here on this earth. And the way the story goes is that they gathered, they just thought this was so beautiful here. This was such a pristine, beautiful planet, and so they gathered here. And they are watching the Elohim work with the animals, and they they become enamored of what is going on in Earth. And they came very close to the animals to understand this. They were curious. They were like curious children in a sense. And so in the animal world, there was this implanted in the animal the survival of the fittest, and there was a line of aggression there. And this was determined that this was how they were going to evolve, because only those who were the most fit would survive and produce themselves. The human soul, we weren't human then, but the soul banks, was we were only supposed to relate to one another in love. And if you can see this picture, these animals grazing, doing the things that animals do, and the souls looking down on this and curious, they become very curious, they come close. And at the point of time that they become close to one another, they didn't understand at that time vibration. They were new souls who didn't understand that they could be taken up and snarled, so to speak, in this form. Now, Edgar Cayce speaks to this. If you're familiar with Edgar Cayce, he actually talks about how the souls became trapped in animal bodies. And this is what this reading is indicating, that they became trapped and that there was a contamination of information between the animal source and the soul. And what we're going to do is continue this discussion at the other half of the hour. We're going to take a little break right now, and what we're going to do is come back, pick up on that story of the animals and the souls. And if you don't have your question ready, think of a question, and we'll be glad to answer that from the records. So for now, just hang in there. We'll be back. And so, friends, we're back to continue the story of the animal world and the souls. And what we were talking about originally is that the Elohim implanted in the animal as their evolutionary path the concept of survival of the fittest and aggression, because they needed that to make certain that the evolution would be of the very strongest DNA, the very strongest individual, to make sure that the very physically fit animal would continue. And the soul, the only way that the soul could work with one another should be in love. The Creator, this was the method that the Creator worked, and since we were the particles from the Creator, this would be how we were intended to react with one another. And so the souls who were watching this experiment became intrigued with the animals, and they came very close, and they watched and they observed, and sometimes they stood in the energetic field of the animals, and then they were able to get out. And so they were playing in a sense. But what the problem was, they didn't understand vibration. These were young souls. This is one of the points of a master, is that they understand and have learned how to move between the different layers of vibration. And so some of these new souls, they stayed too long in the energetic field of the animal. And now what had happened is there was some energy that melded in the memory bank of the soul. And we mentioned that Edgar Cayce speaks of this. And so the physical was corrected in the sense that in Atlantis, they did work with being able to clear the physical from animal parts and to be able to help with this, but there was the problem of the memory banks of the soul that they still had some of this essence of aggression that came from the animal, and that the other thing is the animal then had some components of the love force that the souls had. And so, in a sense, the animal and the human soul have had connections over the years. And the humans have befriended the animal, and the animal has benefited from the love and devotion that was exchanged between the two. And so, as the animal is evolving and as the human being is evolving, this love force that has connected the two of them has helped greatly. And so house pets in particular, and even work animals, such as especially the horse in particular, they are evolving on this thread of love. And as we said before the break, the animals have a group soul, but because of all of this love that is being poured out to them from humanity, that at their death they go back to their group soul, but at some point in the future they are going to transition particles of this love experience and use to form a soul at some point in the future. So their evolutionary path has been changed because of the love of the human being. And so the part of this is that love never dies. And one of the questions that these individuals wanted to know, and I suppose other people have the same thoughts who love their pets, after the pet is in the other world, are they going to come back? Are they going to reincarnate? Now, according to this reading, what it is saying is that the pet owner sometimes might be visited as memories. In other words, these are memories that the animal had. It's not so much the animal itself is coming back, but the memories that this animal had. And they can follow the love force, and it is that love force that draws that memory back and that part of that animal that is on the other side. And it says that it's not exactly a real love bond now as the pet has died, but memories that are brought forth on a subatomic level, and love never dies. And so the animal is the memories of the animal that the pet owner has is always going to be serving them in the relationship with everyone. And it's because once you experience love and you open up your heart to love, yes, the heart center can be closed, but more often than not, as you are opening your heart center, you have experienced love, more than likely you're going to be continuing to open up the heart center over time. And so that relationship that you have with that pet is really serving you in your relationship with everyone. And the love that you gave to the pet is serving the pet, because the animal ultimately is evolving into a higher form. And that's the beauty of this. Here you've got the animal and the human comes together, and because of that relationship, each is evolving to another higher level. And so, to me, that is just a beautiful thing. So that was for the pet owners who are in love with their pets. And we'll go to another topic. And I'm kind of torn between two things here. yesterday we were talking about the different color rays, and I was going to take up the color, except I had a sheet from Chaos Before Creation, and I'm feeling that perhaps maybe somebody out there might be interested in hearing this. And I mentioned to you that there were 13 masters and people from history and entertainers who have their story in that particular book. One is Marilyn Monroe, and Marilyn Monroe has a really interesting topic about loving yourself. She talks about, you know, how she was raised and her experiences. And one of her big problems was she was, even though she was this glorious glamour queen, and everybody loved Marilyn Monroe, there was a part of her that really did not love herself. She felt that she wasn't worthy of love. And so she had some really interesting topics about how important it is to love yourself. Even if you are just taking a bath and you put scented perfume in the bath and you light candles to pamper yourself, to feel special. And that's an interesting story. And in the end of that, we gave a little bit of history and so forth about her life. Well, what's sitting on my desk is interesting, I think, because Elvis Presley came to me. And I found that kind of interesting. I would never have dreamed that Elvis wanted to be talking about healing, because I just thought of him as a person with music all the time. Never really thought of him as an individual who would be interested in the spiritual or interested in healing until I saw a program about him later where he started out in the very beginning singing gospel music. And that was an incredibly wonderful program. It gave to me a really different insight into Elvis, because he came forth from music from a spiritual perspective. And then he got off into another perspective, and it was basically because of his manager. But his story is really fascinating, because he talks about how he was at the pinnacle of the music world, and basically he had everything, and here he is on the other side thinking about some of his lost opportunities. He mentions, he remembers when he was young and he sang spiritual music, and he says he was right on track then. And that was when he had turned towards his soul's prompting. This is what he says his soul was prompting him to do, to sing that kind of spiritual music. I never really had music from Elvis. I mean, I had heard it on the radio or on television, but I wasn't familiar with his early career when he sang the spiritual music. And when I finally had the opportunity to see this in a film, I was so impressed with the energy that he had behind this. This was his path to follow the spiritual and to be a spiritual person, to bring spirituality to the world in his music. And so he talks about his past, and he talks about something that I've heard many times. He says, for one to be healed, one must be aligned with the Creator. You can call it whatever you want, God, the Creator, love, oneness, it doesn't matter. I know now that my soul chose to find heaven on earth through music. I loved music, any kind and any tempo. And so he talks about his career. He talks about his mistakes. And then, interesting enough, his real topic is your communication with your angels. And so his message is about how you communicate with your angel and how your angel can lead you and help you. And he said of that, angels start out as just a gentle whisper. The more you pay attention to that whisper and implement their suggestions, you will hear them and feel them in a more pronounced manner. They urge something that is what you could call just plain good advice. It could be taking better care of your body or being kind to someone. Sometimes they save you from danger, though that is more dramatic. For the most part, they play a helpful partner in the day-to-day business of living. I would suggest that you write down what you think may be coming from higher suggestions in your life. Keep them in a book along with your problems, and you will see a direction in your life. Later, you will be able to sort out what is direction from your angels or from your higher mind. No matter where the direction comes from, it will help you to follow your pattern that you have formed before you came. The pattern of which I speak consists of goals and commitments that you addressed before you incarnated into this lifetime that you find yourselves in. The goals were keyed with directions and guidelines that covered your parents, your living conditions, and almost every event in your life. You played a part in constructing this pattern. Even your parents' DNA was decided upon, and those who came with you were individuals, for the most part, who have helped you in the past. You also had obstacles to work out. Some call this karma. I like to think of it as threads that were not finished in earlier lifetimes rather than karma. To me, karma sounds so cold and unloving. Our obstacles are really choices that we made in the past and were not compatible with soul growth. We have to rectify these challenges when we come back to Earth. That is the law. Anyway, what Elvis says is, there's a lot more to what he says, but one of the things that he talks about is that he is planning to come back to Earth in another lifetime. And he said, music basically is such a important thing to his soul. He just loves music. And he still loves music. And he plans to come back into the world of music again. Though he said that he does not want the spotlight again, that he feels that would be too difficult for him, and he's coming back as one who is going to teach music. And so he wants to come back as a teacher teaching music, and that was from Elvis. I kind of like these stories because they talk about the people that they were when they were on Earth, what they learned, what the lesson was when they learned when they went to the other side, and what their, and some of them talk about their plans now, whether they're coming back into life or whether they're going to go on and do other things. It reminds me of Fred Astaire. Fred Astaire had an interesting story, and he talked about dancing with Ginger Rogers and how that helped bring some joy into people's life. And Fred Astaire said he wasn't planning on coming back, that he is going to be working on the other side. And he talks about his mission, what he is doing. And so we've got the masters that we're familiar with, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, Jesus. We have these individuals. We've got some people from history. I'm trying to think. Right now, some of the historical people, I can see her face so clearly. Joan of Arc talks about her lifetime and what she's planning. And there's some other historical people and entertainers. And it's kind of fascinating because they're giving you the story from both points of view, what it was like when they lived on Earth, their mistakes, how they didn't really see their mistakes, so they went to the other side, how they're rectifying them, and how they're coming back again. So for people who are interested in this story, you might be interested in some of these stories. Something that I'd like to mention about that, when you die, it is at that moment of death, and not too long after that. Well, they're greeted by people on the other side, but not far from the period of transition, you're actually able to read your own records. When I sit here and I give people a reading from their records, that is the same record that the soul has access to when they transition. They are able to look into their records, and especially the records of that last lifetime. In other words, did they meet their mission? Did they accomplish what they had set out to do? And what were the weaknesses that had to be worked on? What were the strengths that they could use? And so they look at these records with their guardian angel. Their guardian angel is one that you have a guardian angel that is with you through all of your lifetimes. You have other angels that assist you in other ways, but the guardian angel is with you as you are reviewing these records. And there are others that help you too, because sometimes when a person transitions, they're very hard on themselves. They see maybe where they didn't accomplish a result, but don't see the fact that they've worked very hard at their mission, but some other soul came and frustrated what they were about to do. And so that's one of the things that the guardian angel does at that point, steps in and helps the individual to kind of put perspective to that lifetime. And then there is planning for the next lifetime. And there is a decision, a course is made as to if you're going to come back, when you're going to come back, what you're going to do in that next lifetime. And as that lifetime is planned, which I'm not sure if all of this planning is done at one time, I have a sense that this evolves over a period of time, because some of this has to be integrated, choices have to be made, lessons are learned, and so this isn't like I don't think it's like an immediate thing where all these decisions are made at one time. But eventually, the person comes back, and just like Elvis said, all of these choices are made. And I thought this was interesting. Even your parents' DNA was decided upon. And he talks about, and those who came with you were individuals for the most part that helped you in the past. And I have information on that also, where once a person takes on the mission, they then choose from others that have been with them in the past to have them come in and assist in that lifetime. We're getting close to the end of the show, and I think I'll save these colors for another time. We can talk about that then. I'm going to talk about something that Archangel Michael talked to me about, and that's called task partners. And I'm going to mention this to you because you might have things in your life that you had relationships with people and they were difficult. They were challenging. It wasn't necessarily the sort of relationship, if you had it to do all over again, that you would want. You might have had a relationship with somebody that was very trying, a real rascal. And I had a relationship with someone like that, and brought a lot of tragedy and sorrow in my life. And I asked about that. I was drifting off to sleep wanted to know the part that this individual had been playing in my life and the reason why. And you know, one thing I've learned, and I hope you all think about, is ask. Nothing happens unless you ask. And so I asked that question, and I started to have dreams of all of my past life, well, not all, but some past lifetimes with this individual. And in each past lifetime, it was the same thing. Terrible challenge with this individual. There, I didn't see one happy lifetime with this person. And I'm thinking, oh my God, am I going to come back again? And he's going to be there doing this, offering the same challenge to me. And so I started thinking about that. Golly, I don't want to have that. And so I had an opportunity to discuss this with Archangel Michael, and it was just beautiful because it changed my whole perspective with this individual. And he said that we have task partners. It's sort of like when Elvis is talking about you come back into the world and you can choose these people to come with you. And so I had an individual that I thought in this lifetime disliked me immensely and was a real problem in my life. And what I found out was he was my task partner and had been many times through a lot of lifetimes. And he had come with me to help me work on a particular virtue, though I didn't know it. And when I was planning my lifetime, one of the things that I knew that I had to do was to learn how to take my power back, how to walk into my power, and how to use that in the correct fashion. And so we come, it's like you've got a list of objectives. Okay, this lifetime I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I'm thinking, not thinking, but discussing with this group of acquaintances, well, how am I going to do that? And that is when this soul stepped forth and said, I can help you with that. He was my task partner, and I have to say, my acquaintanceship with him was a real trial. But in that relationship, he taught me how to take my power back. And I hope that in your reviewing of your life, if you have someone in your life right now that is giving you a very difficult time, maybe you don't like this person. Maybe you have good reason to feel like you don't want to like this person. It could just be that this individual is your task partner. And so when you look at this relationship, you really need to ask yourself, have I learned something by this individual being in my life? And if you have learned something, think about it. You might not really like this person too much. But what have you learned from the struggle that you had with that person? Because you might be looking in the face of your task partner. And if you are, that task partner came and probably sacrificed a lot to be with you and helping you to grow. And I will have to say this. My task partner, when I look back at how we interacted with one another, what I went through, what he went through, I then could see all of the suffering that he took on to be my task partner, to teach me how to walk within my mastery and take my power back. And when I considered that, I then realized with great joy, this was not the enemy that I thought he was. This was really a friend on a level that I could not comprehend because he sacrificed so much to teach me that lesson. And so, my friends, look into your life. See if you have a task partner. Think about it. And instead of maybe holding a grudge or being angry, heal this with the knowledge that your task partner is working for you. Anyway, blessings from the heart. This is Carolyn Evers ending this session today. And stay on board because there's a lot more to talk about. Good night. Talk to you soon.